on 14th Street, the exact location of which I cannot reveal, expanded northward all one night while people were sleeping until it reached the park. There it stopped. At dawn, the northernmost edges lay over the plaza. A free-hanging motion was frivolous and gentle, but experiencing a faint irritation at stopping even to protect the trees and seeing no reason the balloon should be allowed to expand upward over parts of the city it was already covering into the air space to be found there, I asked the engineers to see to it. This expansion took place throughout the morning. Soft, perceptible sighing of gas through the valves. The balloon then covered 45 blocks north-south and an irregular area east-west. As many as 6 crosstown blocks on either side of the avenue in some places. This was the situation then. But it is wrong to speak of situations implying sets of circumstance leading to some resolution, some escape of tension. There were no situations. Simply the balloon hanging there, muted heavy greys and browns for the most part, contrasting with the walnut and soft yellows. A deliberate lack of finish, enhanced by skillful installation, gave the surface a rough, forgotten quality. Sliding weights on the inside, carefully adjusted, anchored the great, verishaped mass at a number of points. Now, we have had a flood of original ideas in all media, works of singular beauty as well as significant milestones in the history of inflation, but at that moment, there was only this balloon, concrete particular, hanging there. There were reactions. Some people found the balloon interesting. As a response, this seemed inadequate to the immensity of the balloon, the suddenness of its appearance over the city. On the other hand, in the absence of hysteria or other societally induced anxiety, it must be judged a calm, mature one. There was a certain amount of initial argumentation about the meaning of the balloon. This subsided because we have learned not to insist on meanings. And they are rarely even looked for now, except in cases involving the simplest, safest phenomena. It was agreed that since the meaning of the balloon could never be known absolutely, extended discussion was pointless. So, at least less purposeful than the activities of those who, for example, hung green and blue paper lanterns from the warm grey underside in certain streets, or seized the occasion to write messages on the surface announcing their availability for the performance of unnatural acts or the availability of acquaintances. Daring children jumped, especially at those points where the balloon hovered close to a building, so that the gap between balloon and building was a matter of a few inches, or points where the balloon actually made contact, exerting an ever so slight pressure against the building, on the side of the building, so that the balloon and building seemed a unity. The upper surface was so structured that a landscape was presented. Small valleys as well as slight knolls or mounds. Once atop the balloon, a stroll was possible, or even a trip from one place to another. There was pleasure in being able to run down an incline, then up the opposing slope, both gently graded or in making a leap from one side to the other. Bouncing was possible. Make this big. Because of the numacity of the surface, or even falling, if that was your wish, that all these varied motions, as well as others, were within one's possibilities in experiencing the up side of the balloon, was extremely exciting for children, accustomed to the city's flat, hard skin. But the purpose of the balloon was not to amuse children. Two, the number of people, children and adults, who took advantage of the opportunities described was not so large as it might have been. A certain timidity, lack of trust in the balloon, was seen. There was, furthermore, some hostility. Because we had hidden the pumps which fed helium to the interior, because the surface was so vast that the authorities could not determine the point of entry, that is, the point at which the gas was injected, a degree of frustration was evidenced by those city officers in whose province such manifestations normally fell. The apparent purposelessness of the balloon was vexing, as was the fact that it was there at all. Had we painted in great letters, "Laboratory tests prove," or 18% more effective on the sides of the balloon, this difficulty would have been circumvented, but I would not bear to do so. On the whole, these officers were remarkably tolerant considering the dimensions of the anomaly, this tolerance being the result of, first, secret tests conducted by night that convinced them that little or nothing could be done in the way of removing or destroying the balloon, and, secondly, a public warmth that arose, not uncolored by touches of the aforementioned hostility, towards the balloon from ordinary citizens. As a single balloon must stand for a lifetime of thinking about balloons, so each citizen expressed, in the attitude he chose, a complex of attitudes. One man might consider that the balloon had to do with a notion sullied, as in the sentence. The big balloon sullied the otherwise clear and radiant Manhattan sky. That is, the balloon was, in each man's view, an imposture, something inferior to the sky that had formerly been there, something interposed between the people and their sky. But, in fact, it was January. The sky was dark and ugly. It was not a sky you could look up into lying on your back in the street with pleasure, unless pleasure for you, proceeded from having been threatened, from having been misused. And to the underside of the balloon was a pleasure to look up into. We have seen to that. Muted grays and browns, for the most part, contrasted with walnut and soft, forgotten yellows. And so, while this man was thinking sullied, there was an admixture of pleasurable cognition in his thinking, struggling with the original perception. Another man, on the other hand, might view the balloon as if it were part of a system of unanticipated rewards. As when one's employer walks in and says, "Here, Henry, take this package of money I have wrapped up for you, because we have been doing so well in the business here, and I admire the way you bruise the tulips, without which bruising, your department would not be a success, or at least not the success that it is." For this man, the balloon might be a brilliantly heroic muscle and pluck enterprise, even if an experience poorly understood. Another man might say, "Without the example of, it is doubtful that would exist today in its present form," and find many to agree with him. or to argue with him, ideas of bloat and float were introduced, as well as concepts of dream and responsibility. Others engaged in remarkably detailed fantasies having to do with a wish either to lose themselves in the balloon or to engorge it. The private character of these wishes, of their origins, deeply buried and unknown, was such that they were not much spoken of. Yet there is evidence that they were widespread. It was also argued that what was important was what you felt when you stood under the balloon. Some people claimed that they felt sheltered, warmed as never before, while enemies of the balloon felt, or reported feeling, constrained, a heavy feeling.